Hello, everybody. Are you ready to practice? Okay, we go.
Can you hear me? Yes, right at the back? Good. Okay, thank you.
Hosting, sabe o menino?
De mão. Yeah.
The Tibetan. I told our Pyoro man.
So Sayadaw is going to tell us about the practice of Satipatthana. Satipatthana is the practice of the four foundations of mindfulness.
Parama songa tiya athoda ba le so lo tiya athoda so la sait kaung ni ko quality kaung ne sait de ko moe da
twa mya da. Firstly, what is meditation? He said meditation is the cultivation of the wholesome or good qualities in our mind. All of us have both good and wholesome and unwholesome qualities of mind.
So,
but when we make the effort to cultivate wholesome qualities of mind, that is called meditation. Any wholesome quality of mind. These qualities include not just awareness, but wisdom, faith, effort, right effort, and stability of mind. And if we practice the, I don't know what you call them in English anymore, the metta, karuna, mudita, and upekkha, does anyone need a translation in English? Put up your hand, please.
Divine abidings,
thank you.
Now, aloba, adoda, amoha,
and if we practice the cultivation of non-greed, non-aversion, non-delusion, that's also cultivating good those qualities of mind. So in Pali, the word for meditation is bhavana, and bhavana means cultivation. So whatever we are growing, cultivating in our minds.
So
And when we practice a cultivation, what we need to remember is that there's two elements involved in that cultivation. There is the object upon which we contemplate, and then there's the mind that does the observing or contemplation. So when he talks about meditation, he likes to remind us that what is really involved in the cultivation is the mind, the mental part. The mind is doing the work of trying to grow those good qualities of mind, not the object, not the thing that we observe. The things that we observe as a contemplation, those things are always there. They're called the six sense objects. They're the physical senses and things that happen in the mind. They're always there.
So, sait ma ga kuna kaung ne sait di am kaung, tadi am kaung, tamari am kaung, punya pinya am kaung, dadariya am kaung. Da ri o pwa ma. Aya yo sait o pwa myan da, taya thu de lu pyo la.
And the reason we are doing this meditation is because he says our minds don't have enough of some of these wholesome qualities. We don't have enough, for example, awareness, we don't have enough stability of mind, we don't have enough wisdom, we don't have enough faith and confidence and so on. And he says that's why we're working to grow these qualities by working the mind. So when we do the practice of Satipatthana, because it's Satipatthana, we're using awareness as the lead. Awareness is what will lead the other qualities and help to grow the other qualities. When there is Sati in the other good qualities of mind have the opportunity to flourish in the mind, and that is why we're going to use awareness, sati, as the lead to help the other mind qualities to grow. So we're going to nurture these qualities of mind, give them plenty of space to grow, plenty of, you know, soil, good air, water, whatever it's is needed to grow.
So, pamyama, sego pamyama, you can't be watching now, dajamalu, continue the practice lure.
So because we want these qualities of mind to be growing, i.e., he says, continuously present in the mind as long as possible, more than they usually are in our mind, he says that's how we're going to work. Yeah, we're going to try and be as mindful as possible, as continuously
as possible.
He says, so when we do the practice of Satipatthana, he says the main point is really about continuity or consistency. We want to make that our goal. In every moment, the mind arises and passes away. However, when the next mind arises, it inherits the qualities of the previous mind. So he says, in order to have certain qualities grow in our mind, we want to have them repeat in our mind over and over again. Then the inheritance that it passes on to the next mind is a stronger and stronger quality of whatever, stronger and stronger amount of whatever quality we are cultivating. And that is called the fulfilling of our paramis, our perfections. So number one, he says, please remember that you are going to live with mindfulness. You are going to live mindfully. So the moment you wake up in the morning, you are living mindfully. Until you fall asleep, you are living mindfully. But while you are trying to be so consistently mindfully living, he says, please remember not to become too tense. Don't put too much effort into it. He says the reason is if we force ourselves to do something, he says generally when we force ourselves too much exerting, it's usually the work of greed or aversion or delusion. And those qualities make us over exert or try too hard. When he says relax, he says what he's trying to get us to relax is those defilements. He's not telling us to relax our efforts. He's asking us to relax the influence of greed, aversion, and delusion. We always need right effort. We always need enough. But the only effort there needs to be is actually the intention to remain, to try to have consistent
practice.
He says the problem we have with effort is that often greed, aversion, and delusion influence our effort, and then it becomes wrong effort. For example, if we're trying to get something out of the practice, we think that we should be getting somewhere, he says you'll notice that we start trying very hard because greed is starting to lead the practice. Sometimes something's happening and we think it shouldn't be happening, and then we're trying very hard to fix it, and he said that's actually aversion at work, and then again we find ourselves trying too hard.
No,
And then there's delusion. He says, when there's delusion, he says, we either don't know how to practice, are not sure what to do, don't know how much effort we're putting in, and so on. And he says then the result is either we put in too much effort or we don't put in enough effort.
So the effort I kind of get it up by line, I mean I don't know to it.
So when it comes to effort to remain continuous in mindfulness, he says there is a need to check how much energy you're using to remain mindful because of the sneakiness of the defilements. Okay, he says, let's try a live demonstration now. He says, you know, you're sitting. You recognize the feeling of sitting? Yes? You know you're breathing? You recognize you're breathing? There is breathing? You recognize there is seeing? Seeing is happening?
Hmm?
Yes?
Oh, okay.
When did you start noticing that you were seeing? Now, when he said so?
Right, yeah. So,
how much energy did you need to recognize that there was seeing happening? No energy.
Yeah, little.
So that's enough energy.
Awareness.
That's awareness.
The awareness that our sense of the deep.
When we are aware of a sense door, we are aware of the object at the sense door. He says, then we are aware.
Awareness of the outside mobile.
So we don't have to exert a lot of energy to know, to recognize, to be aware. We really need to recognize this amount of effort, he says, because when we make the determination to practice all day long, he says, if we use too much energy, we can't keep it up all day long, day after day. And you really need to practice all day long. You're going to live mindfully, he says, and if you use too much effort, then you're going to run out of energy too quickly, too soon. There are people, he says, they practice all day long and then in the evening they feel really tired. So in the evening they find that they feel sleepy and they're sitting and stuff like that, or they really need to rest. He says the mind isn't able to know things very clearly anymore.
So awareness, meaning of awareness of deep blue.
So you need to understand that awareness should not be like that, yeah? So just remember what awareness is in a very simple way. He says, awareness is not forgetting your own self and senses. We have 6 sense doors. We don't have 7. He says, to be aware that seeing is happening, it doesn't require any energy, right? You feel it right now, that you're aware seeing is happening, right? Is that tiring? You think you'll be tired doing that all day long? Difficult?
Okay. So,
okay, he says, you can start practicing. So, that's the second thing. The first thing was, you're going to live mindfully. The second thing is, not with too much effort.
Now, right view.
And then the third very important point for meditation is right view. When there is no right view, he says, then there is not the possibility to develop vipassana.
ကိုယ့်ကိုယ်ကိုအဲ့လိုအာယုံတွေတည်နေပြီးပြီလားလို့မေးတယ်။အမဟာမပြီးဘူး။အာယုံတွေလုံလောက်ပြီလားပေါ့နော
်။
အာမလုံလောက်သေးဘူးလို့ဒီအာယုံကဘာလဲဆိုတော့တော့ပေါက်ထားမယ်လို့
။ Some yogis ask him, "Saito, I'm aware of objects. Is that enough? Am I meditating?" And he says, "Actually, that's not enough." He says, "Because we have to know what we are knowing. What is it? Right view."
So experience တွေကို experience ပေါ်မှာအမှန်တိုင်းစဉ်းစားတတ်ရမှာ
So
အမှန်တိုင်းမြင်ရမှာ
We need to know how to regard the objects, how to have the right view of the objects and know how to think about them in the right way.
အဲ့တော့ experience အားလုံးကအာယုံတွေအားလုံးကိုတဘာဝလို့တဘောပေါက်ထားမှာ Nature လို့တဘောပေါက်ထားမှာဒါမှမဟုတ်အာယုံကိုအာယုံလို့တည်ထားမှာ
He says We can do one or either of these. He says we can remember that the objects are just nature or that the objects are just that. They are objects. They are things that are being known by us. Yes?
Objects
the experiences, the phenomena. Yeah? The experiences, the phenomena, anything that is being known, because of its position as that which is being known, it becomes an object.
တိစီဟာကိုတိစီဟာလိုပဲနှလုံးသွင်းရတယ်ဒါဟုတ်ကောင်းတယ်ဆိုးတယ်လို့နှလုံးမသွင်းရ
Whenever we experience something he says what we have to remind ourselves is that this is an object I'm knowing this it's not this is a bad experience or this is a good experience it's this experience is being known this experience is an object
အတန်ထူချရတယ်အဲကောင်းလားဆိုးလား
You hear a sound is that good or badYeah, hearing is just hearing. So we want to see things as they are. We want to regard things as they are. So what is being known is just to be known, not to be loved or hated.Not to be desired or pushed away.
So, the tabawa ko lila chin, a shi shi dang chi nai ma, tabawa ko tabawa pao nai ni. Ko wa khona lu kaung ne so de so de judgment pa ni, a thin ne chi da phit twa ma.
And it's only when we remind ourselves, he says, that what is happening, what we're experiencing, the things that we're observing, the objects, are nature. We have to remind ourselves that they are their nature. They are doing what they're doing.They are being seen or heard or whatever, experienced. He says we have to remind ourselves. If we don't do that, he says, then the mind goes into desiring and resisting. And then that lens of desiring and resisting distorts the view. The difference between one who is meditating and one who is not, he said, is that one who is not meditating, he says, every experience is then accompanied by desiring or resisting or delusion. He says, whereas for a meditator, the effort is being made to regard all this with the right view so that in every moment, it's not greed, aversion and delusion that's growing, but...
awareness and wisdom is growing.
Thank you.
Tamalule ji ba la mien nai ja dai tu a chai da ma chai da phit ni bi automatic ba.
He says if you just look around ordinarily, he says don't you notice that everybody is constantly you know pulling and pushing, loving and hating, desiring and resisting it.
ခုနပြောကြားတာကြားတာပဲနော်ကြားတာကြားတာပဲဆိုရင်ဒီပေါ်မှာလောဘလည်းမဖြစ်တော့ဘူးဒေါသလည်းမဖြစ်တော့
But if we recognize that there is hearing, we've heard something and hearing is hearing, he says then that's just it, that's all it is. He says then there's not the push, not the pull, not the liking and disliking.
Experience တစ်ခုပဲ
Then it's just an experience.
ဒါမှမထမင်းမယ
် But he's going to ask you another question.
အတန်ချေတာနဲ့တူတာဘယ်ကောင
်း Loud and soft.Which is nicer? Loud is nicer?
Which one better?
Soft. Tora kauner.
I know. Atan chenai chenai. I lupa phit mana.
So whenever you hear a loud sound, what happens? Aversion.
Why aversion ဖြစ်တဲ့သူသူအတွေးခွန်မနေ
And why is there aversion? He says because in the initial thought there was wrong view.
သူကောင်းနေယူထားတာဟိုက soft ကိုကောင်းနေယူထားရင်သူချင်းသူမကောင်းဖြစ်တ
ော့ You decided that soft is good. So then loud is going to have to have a value, not good.
Good တယ်သူကောင်းနေလို့ယူရင်သူဆွဲမှာ
Once there is an initial judgment that anything is good, then the other result will follow.
So, အတန်ကျင်းနဲ့ကျင်းတယ်ပဲ။အတန်တိုးရင်လည်းတိုးတယ်ပဲ။ဒါအရှိအစီတိုင်းပဲစဉ်းစားမှာ။သူကောင်းတယ်မကောင်းတော့မတတ်မှာတော့
။ So, if there is a soft sound is heard. If there is a loud sound is heard. That's what it is. That is exactly what it is.
သူကိုနားထောင်ခြင်းနဲ့အကြောအတန်တိုးရင်မကြိုက်ဘူး။
He says, if there was something you really wanted to hear and it was soft, then you wouldn't like it, would you? Then you'd be annoyed because you couldn't hear it.
So, Yiji, I'm going to say, Nietzsche, I'm going to say, I'm going to say,
So it's really, really very important to remind yourself. Yes, please remind yourself as you're being mindful. And if you notice the mind judging, to remind yourself, this is as it is.This experience is just nature. Is its nature.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
So, now consider the thinking mind. Is it good to have thoughts or not good to have thoughts? A thinking mind is nature. That is its nature. Its nature is to think.
Definition, ah, say good definition, point out, look, Pali Dhamma, no?
Yeah.
Say good definition, point out, think that the nature, since that the nature, say look, Pali.
In Pali, the very definition of mind is that which can know and that which can think.
Say so, do you mind?
So if there is mind, if you have a mind, then there's definitely going to be some thinking. You can't run away from it. You can't run away from its nature. You can't stop it. He says, so when there is thinking mind, he says, he says, don't judge it. It's neither good nor bad.Remind yourself of what it is. It is the mind, it is nature, it is an object because you're knowing it.
တိပ္ပဏ္ဏတုပ္ပါလည်းဒီတိုင်းပဲပြောတာလေ။အတွေးများရင်ပြန်လွင်ရင်လည်းပြန်လွင်မှန်တည်။ငြိမ်ရင်လည်းငြိမ်မှန်တည်။ဒါပဲသူက recognize လေးလောက်ခိုင်းတာ။ပြန်လွင်တယ်ဆိုရင်ပြန်လွင်နေမှန်နေတယ်လို့ပဲသိရမှာ
။ In the Satipatthana, it's actually spelled out that precisely. It says, when the mind is thinking, be aware.Recognize the mind is thinking. When the mind is still, recognize the mind is still. There is no judge, no value given to either of them. There is just to be known. Your work is just to recognize this is happening now. What is happening now? If we have the right view, anything that we are knowing leads to.The development of samadhi, which is stability of mind, and
awareness,
and more awareness.
So, the ayon ni chong bi bi tadi tamari nyan ni phit aw lou nai na aw lou ni daw tya thauk daw kho la ba.
And the very use, yeah, utilizing of these objects, of these experiences in order to develop awareness, stability of mind, samadhi, and wisdom is what we call meditation.He said he's going to ask you another question, but he doesn't need to, right? He said he was going to ask you about pain. Which is good, pain or no pain? Pain is nature, someone says.
Right,
he says. Yes, in fact, he says if there is a body, there will be pain.
မပြင်းမဲ့ဘလောက်တက်တာလဲအေရီယာဘုတ်ပဲထိုင်တယ်ဘလို့ပဲရွေရွေမွှေ့ပဲကြာရင်နာလာကျင်နာလာမှာ
No matter how comfortable you make yourself in any posture even lying down he says if you remain still for long enough it's going to become uncomfortable
ဒါခန္ဓာရဲ့တဘာဝပဲ
That is the nature of the body
ဘာဖြစ်လို့နာတယ်လို့ထင်ခြေထောက်ဘာဖြစ်လို့နာတယ်တဲ့
Why do you think it hurts Why do you think pain begins? Why does For example, why does the leg hurt? It's a signal. A signal pain. He says, if you think of it very simply, it's because there is a leg that it can hurt.
How did? Yeah. Let me see.
If there was no leg, there would be no leg that is in pain. So if you don't want to hurt in the leg, what do you do? No.
Okay.
He says, but this is the truth. This is the truth. He says there's no need to blame it on anybody, not the hardwood floors or anything else. He says it's because you have a leg that it can hurt.
So,
he says, for most yogis, for most of us, we spend meditation wrestling with thoughts, pain, and
sound.
Well, not the objects. We spend our time wrestling with our emotions towards them.
Yeah, these three.
But really, he says, those objects, the sounds, the pain, the thoughts, they're not a problem. The problem is just our aversion towards them. That is the real
source. Liking and
source.
Disliking. Yeah. This is a jatana. Yeah.
The liking and disliking, the initial. And why does the mind develop liking and disliking? He says, because of wrong view. And that's why he says right view is so important. It's only when we have right view that it becomes easy, you know, meditation becomes enabled.
Liking, disliking,
if we want to understand the true nature of the objects that we experience, he says it is only possible in a state of neutrality in the mind. When the mind has liking or disliking, you know, attachment or aversion to the object, it never really sees the true nature of the object. So what he's trying to say is that awareness alone is not enough. You need to have awareness and wisdom, which is right view. Yeah, together. Mm-hmm. They need to work together.
Right view,
without right view, he says just awareness alone doesn't enable the mind to see the truth. Sometimes, when there is not right view, we can even end up with wrong practice. Because view is a zero-sum game. When there is no right view, there is already wrong view. And when there's wrong view, then there will be some wrong practice going on. Wrong effort will come. Yeah.
So right view, vipassana atodeniya, right view are yeji de. Nya, right view so nya ma be.
Yeah. So in the practice of vipassana, right view is very, very important. He says right view is wisdom, the application of wisdom.
Di kama di retreat ma adika tha bi pyo chin na ga nyan go belo taw aw le.
So for this retreat, he says his main focus will be to teach us how to use our wisdom.
Lu de ya taw taw mya mya a sai bi lo tadi tha ra aw jwan chin.
We're very good. He says we're very good at using just effort, like almost like a physical effort to be mindful. Like we're very disciplined. We will do it, you know. But he says the most subtle nuancing of using our own wisdom to help us to do that work of being aware. He says sometimes it takes quite a lot of talking about. He says, so in the practice of meditation, it's very important to discuss practice, discuss the Dhamma. It's very important to you know, listen to the Dhamma. He says, using information about the Dhamma together with our practice, it's very important for us to have that wisdom present when we're practicing.
So, do they are good chan, good chan, me, did me out, did say them, did daddy go away, did honey had away, told don't know. Information, right information in Yama, right practice and Lama.
In the end, he says, when we do any practice, he says, we're using things that we already know and we bring it to bear on the practice. So the more we know and the more we understand, the more we can bring those bits of wisdom to bear on our practice and help it grow.
So the currently
So sometimes he says while you're practicing, if you need to think, think. You need to think. You need to think about how to do it right sometimes. You can think about the practice. You can think about the object. You can think about awareness. You can... And you can think about the mind and the body. You can think about, you know, where they belong in the practice and you know, whether you're positioning it right or whatever. He says, you can think about how to practice. Whoops. And that helps the practice. So any kind of thinking that actually helps your awareness, that sort of thinking should be encouraged. In the Noble Eightfold Path, there is one of the factors is Sammasankappa. Sammasankappa is also translated as right thought. But the nature of Sammasankappa is about directed thought, i.e. the mind is directed, its attention is directed to the right object, to the right thing. And that's Sammasankappa. So... that's the third thing. Right view is very important. So all the things he's telling you is right information. It's going to go into your mind, and you're going to use that while you when you begin practicing. When he uses the word nature, sabhava in Pali, nature means that there's nothing personal about it. For example, heat is just heat. Nobody is heat. Heat is just heat. And in nature, there is no one, nobody. Nature is just nature.
Nature is cause and effect process.
In fact, what nature is a process of cause and effect, unfolding. And that's what we call nature.
So,
he says, so whatever you are experiencing, whatever is unfolding, he says, you have to regard it as nature. You have to want to understand its nature. And that is the view from which you want to observe. So to summarize, he said that continuity or living mindfully is important. He said that right effort, not putting in effort using greed, aversion, or delusion is important. And lastly, right view. He says, so although we talk a lot about the mind, he says there might be people, he says, who don't find it easy to recognize the mind. he says he doesn't, he says sometimes people misunderstand because he talks so much about the mind that they're supposed to be watching the mind all the time. But that's not true. So if when you can't know the mind, he says you can begin again by just knowing sensations in the body. Start with normal things that you recognize in your body.
Body sensation will be obvious.
Because body sensations are obvious, it helps you to maintain continuity of awareness. So when you sit meditation, what will you observe? What shall we observe?
So,
his teacher used to say, sit comfortably and watch whatever is obvious.
So,
So you can choose what works for you. You can know the body as a whole and then notice what's most obvious, and that might change from time to time. Or if you already have, if your mind has a preference for resting on one object, you can allow it to do that and then recognize other things that come up from time to time. He won't choose an object for you. He says, let your mind choose what's suitable for itself. Which object do you think is better? He said, whatever helps you is the best object for you in that moment. But he says, remember that for meditation this way, he says, it needs to be an object that has come naturally to you. It's not something that you're trying very hard to maintain. He says, not to force an object to appear as well. For example, say you if you can't notice the breath, then not to start breathing heavily to try and notice the breath. He says, for example, you hear a sound. What do you need to do? Your hearing is happening. Do you need to exert any energy to be hearing? No. So that's it's that natural awareness. So he's trying to point out how we might be trying to watch the breath and then we're not able to because of something else, but then we keep trying very hard to keep staying on the breath and then we start doing unnatural things to try and make it obvious to ourselves.
Some people, they use rising falling.
Yeah.
Because they cannot see. So, tension, I am very young, you are very young,
Yeah, so whatever is really obvious is your object, yeah, whether it's sounds or breath or whatever. He says, and if there's nothing, you're sitting. You can be aware that you're sitting. There are people who... He says he knows there are people who think, I need to work with pain, and then they sit in positions that give them pain so that they can watch it. He says, really, a meditation object should be natural. Not created. Remember he said at the beginning that the meditation is about the cultivation of the mind bit. He says, please remember that. What you're trying to cultivate is awareness. It's not the object that you're trying to cultivate. So you're not trying to make the breath remain there or the sound be this or whatever. You're just trying to have awareness. So whatever you know, awareness is there.
Yeah.
If you... If you know that the mind is thinking a lot, recognize that the mind is thinking a lot and there is awareness of it. If the mind is agitated, recognize the mind is agitated and there is awareness of it. He says, please don't try to quiet the mind. So we're not trying to change the objects. We're not trying to make it a good object. We're not trying to walk. He says we're trying to be aware, for example. So we need to remember where the effort must lie. So it's in remembering the awareness. So what we're trying to grow by being mindful. He says we're trying to be mindful continuously so that mindfulness, stability of mind, and wisdom will grow in the mind.
Yeah?
The objects are just stepping stones. They help the mind to be mindful, to grow its stability and its wisdom. Whatever we are knowing, when there is right view, then meditation is happening. Do you think we will stop struggling this retreat with the thoughts, the sounds, and the pain? No. Gongkar. And if the mind has a reaction, the mind will, it will have aversion, then to recognize that there is aversion. So, for example, he says, when there is pain, he says it's automatic. We can't avoid it. The mind will dislike the pain. He says, and when the aversion comes up, he says, what we want to recognize is the aversion. Observe the aversion, forget the pain. I mean, as in, not forget the pain, as in,
yeah,
he says it's just the pain will be there, but when there is aversion in the mind, it's not the right time to observe the pain directly because you'll be watching through the lens of aversion. So the thing that needs to be observed is the aversion itself. And so you need to put in that right view, remind yourself this is nature, and watch that aversion. Aversion is nature. And you watch the aversion for as long as it is possible for you. And if you find it's becoming too much aversion, it's getting difficult, he says, please make yourself comfortable. Change your posture so that the mind is not having to keep having aversion to the pain if it becomes out of hand. He says some people think that if they move to make themselves comfortable when there's pain, then they're indulging greed. The need for comfort. He says, but we're not going to use greed to move. He says, we are watching the aversion and then we move at a time when we realize that if we don't make the mind comfortable now, then we're in pain of growing the aversion in the mind. So we don't want to be cultivating aversion either. Yeah? So that's using some wisdom. So right from the beginning, he said, meditation is the cultivating of the wholesome qualities of mind. So we're not going to allow unwholesome qualities to grow unchecked if we know that that possibility is there either. Yeah? That's when it becomes necessary. You must move at that time to make the mind comfortable. Not because of greed. Not because of the desire for comfort, but because of the need to check the growing aversion in the mind. He says, when you walk, you can just know that you're walking.
Physical sensation,
you can recognize obvious sensations in the body while you're walking, movement and so on. And then with time, you will notice how the mind is also participating in the walking. You'll always find that, you know, some minds are more obvious than others, like your feelings, emotions, and your thoughts. When the mindfulness becomes continuous, you will also begin to notice that the mindfulness itself becomes something that you can observe. Please also be mindful when you're eating. When we eat, all six sense doors are at work. All six sense objects. So, remember that seeing is a very valid object of meditation. If you want, you can sit with your eyes open and meditate as well. Seeing is an object. And we need to become skillful at this at recognizing this object. Is it the same to see and to look? Are they the same? No. What's the difference? Intention. Yeah. So we focus attention. So when you look, you make an intention and you look, he says, don't you need to also recognize that? The intention and the looking? Yeah. Every day, how much looking do we do? How many times do we recognize that we're looking? We hardly do it. Or never. He says, never when we don't have anyone to tell us to do it. But you know, he says, it's in the Satipatthana Sutta, it tells us to do all the five sense doors and to become skillful at being aware of all the five sense or six sense doors. So when you practice Vipassana meditation, he says, closing the eyes is not important at all, not essential. Because it's not the work of your eyes, it's the work of your mind. Maybe if you want to practice the concentration techniques, you know, like samatha, where you just pay attention to one object to the exclusion of all others. If you want to do that sort of practice, yes, you will need to maybe close your eyes. Because when we close our eyes, a lot of the attention of the mind goes to the eyes. When we open the eyes, a lot of the mind's attention goes to the eyes. So whether we're aware of it or not, some of the attention is dispersed. So then you can't concentrate solely on one object if that is your goal. So for samatha meditation, you might need that, but for vipassana meditation, you don't need to close your eyes.
Some yogi pyo da.
Yeah. He says a yogi said to him, he says he doesn't want to open his eyes when he meditates. And Sayadaw said, why? He says, Sayadaw, if I open my eyes, then my samadhi is gone. Sayadaw said, then that's really bad samadhi. You can't use it at all.
Cannot use. No.
He says, but the sort of concentration that person is after is that sort of exclusive attention to one object, and that's why he doesn't want to open his eyes. He says, but for vipassana, that's not necessary. We just need to have a settled mind, that's all. He says, we know that sound is an object. Why is it that it's difficult to know sight as an object? He says, just because we lack the practice. If we practice a lot, he said, if we practice a lot, then it becomes very obvious. He says, in fact, the eye object is the most obvious. We can't avoid it at all hours of the day. The moment we open our eyes, there it is. He says, if we make it a habit to recognize seeing whenever we open our eyes, he says, then, you know, it feels like awareness is there all the time. Because your eyes are open. So do remember to recognize awareness of seeing and looking as often as possible. Because we don't do anything without looking first. He says we've been, you know, observing our movements for so long, decades. He says, why don't we start being aware of seeing and looking? He said, put it together.
Daily activity,
bring it along.
He
says, please pay more attention to awareness of daily activities of all movements out of your sitting. Because meditation is not just for the cushion. He says meditation is not trying to sit, it's not trying to walk, it's not trying to eat, it's about trying to be aware.
He
said he thinks that's enough for now. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says too much and it might start getting a bit messy. any questions about practice? No?
Okay. So whenever
I have a lot of chances, you guys.
You're really clear in your own mind about what you need to do. Yes?
Okay, yeah.
I have a question. How do I know that I put in the right amount of effort, too much or too little?
See, yeah, feeling that you then I can't be my life, then she sees it on the Miami. The Chamadito, pure Navy, so that experience,
So the question was, how do I know that my mind is putting in too much effort or too little effort? And he says, you can feel, you can check how you're feeling. If you start becoming tense, you know you're putting in too much effort if you're becoming tired. And then when it's too little effort, you can sort of feel too. So you need to learn from your own experience as well. Feel your way through it. Yeah. So initially, he says, it's actually about knowing when it's too much, recognizing that, and then recognizing when it's too little. And that will help you to then balance slowly, like move in towards the center. So you can't avoid doing too much or doing too little. That's how you learn that that's too much and that's too little. So that's why we need to practice continuously and we need to practice a lot so that we begin to recognize whether we're practicing too hard or we're too relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Go with Tom.
Over there.
Do you recommend labeling if you're seeing? Do you label seeing?
Oh, no.
The question, do you recommend labeling when you're seeing? Do you label it seeing? And he says, no, it's not necessary to label it. Just recognize that seeing is happening. Ubiquitous. Du har Björn. Menar, men jag känner det. Så jag går, recognize lånigare. Och de gör ju mer vanligt.
Lägger mig sig då va?
He says it's just because we lack practice.
Menar, och det där när man det. Det här var kvar. Menar, de menar det. Men man det ju. Menar, har ju själv sen sann i det. Det där var ju.
He says so often, I mean, our life, we're seeing all the time. We are never really recognizing the seeing. What we're doing is thinking about the things we see. We're thinking about the things we see. We're not just recognizing the
concept,
fact of seeing. So we're usually looking at the concepts that, you know, there's a person there, the wall is blue, the trees are green, the bird is beautiful. We're not just recognizing that seeing is happening. There is seeing. So now we're interested in the inner nature of what's happening to this being, me, you know, that this phenomena called seeing is happening.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Over there.
I just wanted to clarify a little bit more the distinction between seeing and looking. I understand the intentionality. But is looking more affiliated with the cultivation of less wholesome?
Oh, okay. So the question is, she wants to clarify seeing and
looking,
not just about the intentionality, but also whether looking seems to tend towards cultivating more unwholesome mind states. He says, when the mind is not looking, looking means that it intends to pick out one of the objects in the view of our eyes, right? That's looking. When we're not actually picking out any particular object to look at, he says seeing is always happening. Yes, it's passive activity, seeing. He says, now if you look at him, if you just look, if you just look, he says, can you recognize that there is a looking happening? There's a focus of the attention, of the ability to see onto one object, yes?
Okay, I'm looking at it. That's how I see.
But when you look at one thing, you'll notice that everything else beside it is also being seen. So seeing is still happening, even when we look. Yes?
Yes.
Dame tu amere hua o ero chira loe ho akudo pipo po mamia do aula.
Kiri dane chima.
Right. He says, and as for whether unwholesome, you know, qualities are encouraged by looking, he says, only if we use the defilements to look. He says, yeah, when you look with awareness and understanding, yes, no defilements. Yeah. Yes. Maybe I'll do this one first. Yeah. If we're trying to cultivate wholesome thoughts,
how do we not be
averse to unwholesome thoughts?
Right.
Okay.
Like if we have negative thinking and we want to cultivate positive, how do we not
push away? Right. Tua mei re. Kua kaung bo cho za ni re su ro re. Sik ka blu lo ma kaung nao tua bro. Ma kaung so bro. Ma tun jin na sik piang lo mo le re. Kaung nao kua ta ma pi bi da kaung ne su ro. Ma kaung na piang kua tun jin na bi.
အဲ့တော့တွန်းဖို့လည်းမကြိုးစားဘူးလေသူကတိဖို့ပဲကြိုးစားတယ်ကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်လေကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်တယ်မကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်တယ်လို့သိရမှာဒါမဲ့ဖြစ်နေတဲ့ကောင်းတဲ့စိတ်ကတတိဟုတ်တယ်မလားပဲပြောလို့ရမယ်တခြားစိတ်တွေလည်းဖြစ်နိုင်တာပဲအဲ့လေဒါမဲ့အခုကအာယုံစိတ်ကိုကောင်းတဲ့လို့ထင်နေတာဒီကြည့်တဲ့စိတ်ကကောင်းတော့သူကသဘောမပေါက်တာအာဘာလို့ပွားများနေတာစိတ်ထဲရလေဒါမ
not what doing it. Oh,
Jin is a problem. Right, yeah. I understand now.
Okay. Okay, so do you remember he said
Yes.
He says, remember he said that when he talks about cultivation, there is the object and there is the mind. And remember that meditation is about the mind, cultivation of the mind and not the object. Right. So when you're talking about experiencing an unwholesome thought becomes the object because you are knowing an unwholesome thought. And the cultivation is not of the thought, is not of the object, but of the mind that's observing. So the good quality that you're cultivating is the quality of observation, is the mindfulness. And if you bring in right view, remind yourself that an unwholesome thought that is being observed is just nature. He says, you're no longer giving fuel to the unwholesome thought. So you're not reacting to the unwholesome thought. So there's no more aversion to the aversion. Yes? And because of that, he says, there might be some momentum to the unwholesome thought, but because you're not feeding that momentum, it won't grow. So you observe it, but if you have right view and there's mindfulness, what is growing is mindfulness, stability, and the wisdom, and the right view. And that unwholesome thought that came will come with this momentum. When it runs out of steam, it'll go. So but if we fuel it,
past conditioning.
Yeah.
Present moment mah, buang mah, present moment buang.
Yeah.
Ini lah present moment, present karma.
Yeah.
That experience is past karma effect.
Yeah. Whenever we have an experience, he says, remember that any experience in the present moment is a result of past conditioning. It's a result of past conditioning. He says, but in the present moment, we can recondition the mind. And the condition and the reconditioning that we're working on is the development of awareness, stability of mind and right view. So instead of judging the thought that's coming, which is being observed, you work on...
Present karma, right view, defilement, yet one.
Yeah.
Present karma, wrong view, so nasapim.
So you work on the right view, having the right view in the present moment, having the awareness and the stability of mind and continuing to have that. He said, so that, you know, whatever, when there's right view, he says defilements eventually run out of steam. But if there's wrong view, he says it then feeds that, the momentum of the object, and then that might carry on more. Okay, yes.
What's the difference between moving from object to object as it presents itself?
What is the difference between moving from object to object as it presents itself and... And the monkey mind. So if you're sick of pian lue na ne, ayo to kubi to kupola ra ne, ti ra ne, bakwa
ne. Bakwa ne, so pian lue na ga ma ti bu. Tui jin na, tui jin na, tui ra. Ti jin na, ti ra, ti ni ma pian ma ti bu.
The monkey mind.
Wa ha, ti ni tau pian, ti ni ma ti de. Ti ni de, so ayo mo ti ni de, so.
Ti de.
Di si ni de.
Yeah. The monkey mind is unobserved. The monkey mind is just doing its own thing, but we don't know. When you know what the mind is doing, it's no longer a monkey mind. You're aware that the mind is doing this. Yeah. So there is an awareness that you know the mind is being like a monkey, but there is awareness. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He says, technically, you know, because the nature of the mind is to know, the mind actually knows everything. But we're seldom aware that the mind is knowing things. And it's only when we bring up awareness, you know, when we like become conscious of ourselves that we notice all the things that the mind is knowing. He says, you know, when it comes to awareness, it's a strange quality. He says, in the beginning, when you start trying to be aware, he says, we'll try to be aware of one object and we'll know one thing. So maybe we're aware of breath or the way the body feels or something. But when you settle into awareness, you start to notice that, oh, while I'm knowing this, you know, sounds begin to be heard and then thoughts begin to be known, and then other sensations become... He says that's actually a sign that the awareness is becoming better, because you're becoming more aware. Since we're trying to cultivate awareness, there is more awareness, so that's a good sign.
The awareness is strong.
He calls that awareness at work. Yeah, awareness is working. It's sharp, it's strong, it's doing
stuff.
He says, so awareness is busy now. It's so busy doing its work. He says, then how can it just, you know, then the mind doesn't fritter. Yeah. Some yogis find it they don't like it. They think, maybe from wrong information or whatever, but they think that means that the mind is distracted when the mind is knowing more. And so then they keep trying to get the mind to stay on one object because they think that the mind is being distracted. But he says, no, in fact, the mind is naturally growing in awareness because you have been trying to be aware continuously. He said, so allow that. So it's just about repositioning the view so that the mind becomes more settled in that state. He says, maybe in a practice... where you know the goal is to just be aware of one object to the exclusion of all others, he says, then you know you do that sort of practice. But for the practice of vipassana, he says, vipassana is about understanding nature, and everything is nature, so you know you want to be open to being aware of everything that comes up in the mind.
တချို့ idea တော့တခုတည်းယူတာကောင်းတယ်လို့ယူထားတဲ့လူတွေကအဲ့များများပေါ်လာမကြိုက်တော့
Yeah, the only reason the mind would feel that it's disturbing or distracting is if we have a prior or a preconceived idea that the mind should stay on one object. If we have this sort of idea, we think it's better if the mind stays on one object, he says, then the mind is going to be uncomfortable. But it's just, we must always recognize that discomfort in the mind comes from some judgment that the mind has, yeah.
ကိုယ်တနေလုံးကိုယ်ကိုသတိထားပြီးဆိုကိုယ်နဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ကပ်လာပြီးဆိုတဘာဝကတော့များများတိလာအောင်ထုံးစံ
He says it's only going to be natural that you know if you're making this effort to be consciously aware of your mind and your body continuously through all your movements, you sit, you walk, you move, and you're just going to be knowing so many different things. Yeah, it's going to open up.
That's natural.
That's natural. Yeah.He says, just don't fight with the object.
don't complain about what happened.
Don't complain about the object. Remember that the object is a result. You're growing the mindfulness. Yeah. The back? Yeah. Yes.
I just kind of said what I was going to ask, but I want to ask it anyway. That is okay, as long as the awareness is there.
Yeah. I'm just going to repeat your question for the recording. So in some retreats, everything is prescribed, like you sit a certain amount of time, walk a certain amount of time. But in Sayadaw's retreat, we're not told how long to sit or walk. We're just told to be mindful all the time. So she's saying, if we sat for 5 minutes and then we walked and then we did anything, so long as we're aware all the time, we don't have to judge ourselves for sitting for however long or walking however long. Is that right? Yes. ဟိုတတိထိုင်ပြီးတော့ကို9မိနစ်ပဲထိုင်ပါလားတော့ဘာလို့ဘာမှကိုအပြစ်တင်ဖို့မလိုဘူ
းမေးဖို့လို့လိုတယ်ဘာဖြစ်လို့လဲ
He says yes no need to judge yourself just ask yourself why do you do this
အဲ့ညံကိုတုံးတာပဲ
He says he wants us to use our wisdom to know why we're doing
ဘာလို့လို့ကိုကဘာရွေချက်နဲ့လုပ်တာကိုကိုသိပြီးမှလုပ်ဖို့
Whatever we do we must know our motivation. Yeah? Why are we doing it?
Yeah.
Why do you sit for 45 minutes if you do?
Schedule.
Is it because of the schedule?
Okay.
But then there's no wisdom. It's not coming from us. That's just listening to instructions. But we don't have a why we are doing it. Yeah? Why not an hour? Why not half an hour? Why 45 minutes? You know? Yeah, he says it's not our wisdom. It's the wisdom of the person who is giving the instructions. But we need to have our wisdom.
Right?
We must cultivate the strength inside us. This is meditation. Growing our wisdom. This is meditation. We must use it. Yes? And when we use it, it grows. Take it out, he said. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As awareness grows, is the mind aware of multiple objects at the same time, or one object at a time but faster?
Okay, the question, as awareness grows, is the mind aware of multiple objects at a time, or is it aware of more objects faster? The Di Kaung Lai in it, Ayo Myayo de Byaine Ti De Lo La, Mohoi Ayo Myayo Myan Myan Ti Lo Ara La. Both can happen. Just depends. It's like martial arts, you know? It's like automatic reactions, you know? You can do things very fast when you practice something.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that was confusing to me because I know awareness can rise and pass away, but I thought the mind was always consistent in the background.
Okay. Okay, I'll just repeat the question. She says, so earlier Sadhu had mentioned that the mind arises and passes away when he was talking about qualities being passed on to the next mind. She's confused because she thought awareness arises and passes away, but the mind is like a background that always remains constant. He says, well, in fact, everything arises and passes away, but when you keep observing your mind, he says, at some point you'll understand. You'll see that for yourself, that everything does come and go. Including the black background. Pia? Oh, yes. Yes.
I have noticed in my experience that I can feel my way into the relaxed awareness continually.
You can feel your way into the relaxed awareness, yes. When you ask the mind, how is the mind aware? You get overwhelmed.
Then I can feel the overwhelm of it.
Okay. Are you asking that continuously?
Well, I'm trying to be... The awareness part feels relaxed.
Yes.
How is my mind aware? That question, you know, is it hers?
But you said it was relaxed.
The awareness part, like I'm aware of this, I'm aware of that. But then when I try to bring in the wisdom aspect, I think it's the wisdom aspect of how is the mind aware of this knowing. Then I can get overwhelmed.
Yeah, he says it's probably because that question is completely unnecessary at that time. Yeah, overwhelm sort of indicates, yeah,
no,
that
question
questions are only to be used judiciously, as needed, not to be, it's not like,
mantra lu chanting.
Yeah, it's not like chanting, it's not like a mantra, it's, no, not transcendental.
Okay, so,
okay, tomorrow we see you, some of you.
Okay? Yeah, that's enough.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, I will say now.